as we are reflecting on this morning with our 9/11 memorial anniversary sound collage. A special Tears of the Gods coming to you this morning here on WMFO in Medford. We began that 35-minute set with the seminal German electronic band Tangerine Dream and their Stratosphere epic from their album Stratosphere. Tangerine Dream is one of those bands who many people haven't heard of, but they've certainly been influenced by them, most likely, because Tangerine Dream's just been so profoundly influential on so many artists. Electronic artists and, David Bowie, number one. But Tangerine Dream is... A very influential German band. And then, actually, there are featured artists for this morning's show. And we had four tracks from them in that sound collage set. Also heard The Big Sleep in Search of Hades, 3 a.m. at the Border of the Marsh from Oki Finoki, and Invisible Limits. All of those from their Stratosphere album. And then we finished off with Buck Cherry and Lawless and Lulu. We've been hearing an awful lot in that set from Dr. David Ray Griffin and his talk that he gave at Boston University on April 11th in 2009, talking about the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the definite conspiracy involved there, because while many people refer to 9/11 conspiracy theorists as being crackpots or otherwise not thinking clearly, he's backed up by a lot of evidence, and it's there for you to judge whether the official account is true or not. But my own belief is that I don't think the attack was created and orchestrated by the U.S. government. But on the other hand, I believe it's entirely possible that some groups or organizations not in any way politically associated with Islam found out about the plans for the attacks beforehand and decided to help them along because it would further their own purposes, like getting the United States involved in a war with Muslims. The Iraq War came out about this, and as we pretty well understand right now, there was really no relation between the 9/11 hijackers and Saddam Hussein, but all that led to the Iraq War, and that's what I'm talking about. And we also heard several clips from witnesses describing what was going on, and I will certainly admit that what you've just heard in the last hour or so was kind of crazy, and it was a little difficult to pay attention with the sound sources coming from all different places and multiple people talking at the same time. But that's part of the artistic effort that we're doing here to communicate the craziness that was going on at Ground Zero and all across the country. There's not a single coherent kind of story that you're getting, but the real life of the attacks going on and what people felt with that. Backing me up right now is the Iraqi oud player Rahim Al-Haj, accompanied by a string ensemble. And thanks to Celtic Dusk host Joanne Keezy for lending me that CD, Letters from Iraq, Oud and String Quintet a Smithsonian Folkways recording. That's just a wonderful package with a full-color bilingual English-Arabic booklet describing what's going on with all these eight letters that were written from people in Iraq after the invasion and the war started. If you've ever wondered what it takes to have your own radio show and be a DJ here on WMFO, you can find out this Sunday, September 15th at 4 p.m. WMFO's Fall General Interest Meeting is going to be held in room 104 of Pearson Hall, which is at 62 Talbot Avenue on the Somerville Medford campus of Tufts University. It's for all prospective student and community DJs, and it'll be this Sunday, September 15th at 4 p.m. Attend and learn how you, too, could become a DJ on the absolute coolest freeform radio station on planet Earth. A public service message, a public service announcement from the DJs here at WMFO. You could join us. You could be my friend, or at least maybe my trainee. Also, I wanted to mention that Tufts Community Day is coming up September 22nd, a week from this Sunday. And residents, neighbors, and friends are invited to celebrate the 17th annual Community Day at Tufts from 11 to 3 p.m. Yes, on Sunday, September 22nd. The event's going to take place on the Academic Quad at Tufts Medford and Somerville campus, and it's co-sponsored by the two cities. Highlights of the day include music and dance performances by student groups, pumpkin painting, crafts, face painting, and other activities for children. Plus, there's going to be complimentary lunch and refreshment. There's going to be burgers and lots of kind of salads. And, oh, I love those candied apples with caramel or the other kind of reddish sugary candy on them. Yeah. Community Day is free and open to the public. All events are handicap accessible and free parking is available. Events including lunch will take place on the main academic quad at the top of the hill by Goddard Chapel, Ballou Hall. And Ballou Hall is famous for having WMFO's transmitter on the top floor and our antenna on the roof. And Community Day is going to be held rain or shine. For more information, I could give you a long URL to type in. Or you can just fire up your favorite search engine and type Tufts Community Day. And you'll find out more information about that for sure. This has been a public service message from the Tufts Office of Community Relations and WMFO in Medford. Tufts Community Radio. Boy, we've sure used that word community an awful lot in those 2 minutes there. Well, let's get back to another long set of music and Dr. David Ray Griffin's Boston University talk. And it all begins. It all begins right now with Tangram's Set, a 20-minute, 30-second epic from Tangerine Dream, from their album Tangram.
But defenders of the official story said, oh, no, 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 that's not true. 30,000 popular mechanics, you know, wrote a book defending the official theory. And one of its authors said, 40,000, 50,000 feet, cell phone calls, perfectly possible. But while popular mechanics was making that brave claim, the CIA was pulling the rug out from it. This was 2006. At the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui, you remember these so-called 20th hijacker. The FBI was asked to turn in all sorts of evidence relating to the 9/11. Part of their evidence was a report about phone calls from all
four. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
What did they say when they got to Flight 93?
Only an alert.
They said of the 37 calls from that flight, 35 of them remain on seatback phones, onboard phones, earphones.
So that security and liberty.
Two of them only were made on cell phones.
Akin to,
and those were made when the plane was just about ready to crash, so it was down at a very low altitude.
Has been the technological revolution.
The FBI implicitly agreed with
in this revolution, research
high altitude phone calls.
It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly.
Well, what do we do then about all the people who said they're absolutely convinced they got cell phone calls?
Today, the solitary inventor.
You know, many people said my husband, my wife said I'm calling on the cell phone. In one case, the person was told
not appear that there's any kind of
passenger
effort
had
up there yet.
Never
mind. Oh my God!
Next door, next seat neighbor.
Historically, the fountain
looks like a second play.
Well, in those cases, you might say, "Well, they got confused. They forgot."
Has experienced
memory,
a revolution in the
but what about
of
Dina Burnett? She couldn't have misunderstood.
And then we took smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and then we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere, and people were jumping out the window.
We must also be alert.
Now, this is speculation, but there is pretty good speculation. There is a technology that could explain that it was functioning at the time. In 1999, William Arkin, a well-known writer about military theory, published an article in the Washington Post reporting an experiment, a demonstration that he had observed of the new technology of voice morphing, which allows people to simulate the voice of another person.
As we
and so well,
in
fact, that you could fool the best friend or even a spouse.
You and I, and our
reported that he heard
the
voice of Colin Powell saying, I'm being treated
for
well
our
by
own
my
ease
captain.
And convenience,
he heard another well-known general saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have just launched World War III.
The material
Either of those
our
generals had made those statements. Everybody
the
in the room
their political
who
and
knew them and knew their voices would
We want democracy to survive for all generations
Now we know
to come.
About the
Not
form of digital morphing, the visual
tomorrow.
Like in Forrest Gump.
During the long lane of the history
Forrest Gump shakes hands with JFK.
America knows that this world.
You know that didn't happen.
Ever growing
and yet it was perfectly
must avoid
lifeline.
Becoming a community of
and so Arkin points out, because
and
of digital morphing,
a proud
you can no longer say seeing
of mutual
is believing.
And
you can see, but it may be
Such
not
Such a confederation
true.
Must be one of each.
Then he likewise pointed out, now thanks
come
to voice
to the
morphing,
table
hearing
with
isn't
the same
necessarily
as do we.
Either.
Protected as we
now,
are
what about
by our
the
moral,
the
economic,
the number?
Military,
well, there are little devices you can put in which says, fake any phone call you want to, so you can make any phone call here So at least it's possible, and to me it seems likely, that that's what happened. In any case, FBI also turned in a report about Flight 77, which is the flight that allegedly struck the Pentagon. And this contradicts the official story even more. That is the FBI's report. The most important of all the phone calls from that day were two from Barbara Olson. That is, two who were reported by her husband, Ted Olson, Theodore Olson, who is the Solicitor General of the Department of Justice. And, of course, Barbara Olson was a well-known commentator on CNN. Ted Olson told CNN that day and told the FBI that Barbara had called him twice that morning, that she was on Flight 77, that hijackers had taken over the plane. They were armed with knives and... This is the only alleged phone call that mentions box cutters. So this gives you an idea how important this story was to creating the official myth or story.
Not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
Thanks to this phone call.
That looks like a
Another way
plane.
This call was very important was that because she was very popular, especially with the right wing, this so outraged America that these evil Muslim Arab terrorists had killed Barbara Olson. The people were ready to go kill Arab Muslims. A lot of people said, you know, it didn't matter too much if they were responsible for 9/11. So this was instrumental to getting the whole psychology, mentality of the American people ready to support the war on terror. Another way this call was important, there was a rumor that Flight 77 had crashed in the Midwest. The FAA took this very seriously. The FAA controllers had completely lost control, radar contact with the plane, and there was a report.
I totally concur.
The Ohio-Kentucky border. These calls reported from Barbara Olson were proof that Flight 77 was still aloft and therefore could have been what damaged the Pentagon. However, when you look at the FBI's report, and you can all read this for yourself, it's on the website.
The abortionists have got to bear some burden for this because God will not be mocked and we destroy 40 million little innocent babies.
How to get there.
We make God bet.
Here is what the FBI report said. They're little graphics, so you can just read, see what they say. And here's what the graphic says about Barbara Olson. It does mention that she attempted a call. But it says, Barbara Olson attempted one call, unconnected, duration 0 seconds. Thank you. This is supposed to create a shock. But I'm surprised. Surely the Boston Globe reported this. This has been public knowledge since 2006.
Another factor in maintaining balance involves the element time.
Now, the reason this is so amazing is that
we,
FBI, is part of the Department of Justice.
Must avoid the impulse.
And yet this FBI report was saying that the story told on 9/11 by Ted Olson, the former Solicitor General of the Department of Justice,
the material assets of our
isn't true. Those calls never happened. That gives you two choices. Either Ted Olson lied,
we want democracy to survive,
or he was deceived like Dina Burnett. Either way,
not to become
the whole thing is a lie.
Of tomorrow.
It's based on deception.
During the long lane of the history yet to be...
I happened to be invited to the European Parliament last year for the presentation of this new great movie by Giulietta Chiesa. A member of the Italian Parliament. A movie called Zero. How many have seen Zero? Oh, good, good.
Such a confederation.
I would say it, if you're talking about full length, the movies that cover all the many aspects of life. It and Loose Change Final Cut are the two movies. And I think they're equally good. They're both really, really
that table, those
anyway, I was there, and then they had as technological problems, and they couldn't get things to work. So, Gaza leaned over to me and said, kill some time, entertain the audience. So I just started running on. And so I told this story, among others. And as I was telling this story, I said, you know, that's an amazing story. This should have been 3-inch headlines, screaming headlines in the Washington Post.
My official responsibilities,
but of course it wasn't. But then a few months later,
of disappointment.
A group called the
Phoebes, taking off and the lingering sadness of war. As one who knows that another war could utterly destroy this
musical DVD,
which has been so
called 9/11 is Alive, based on Staying Alive.
I wish
Staying
I could
alive. 9/11 is Alive. 9/11
is Alive. Lasting peace.
And so I was particularly happy in the middle of that to see the Washington Post with 3-inch screaming headlines. FBI says story told by former Solicitor General is untrue.
As a private citizen, I shall never cease to do what little I can to help the world advance along that road. So in this, my last good night to you as your president, I thank you for the many opportunities you have given me for public service in war and in peace. I trust in that service, you find something worthy. As for the rest of it, I know you will find ways to improve performance in the future. You and I, my fellow citizens, need to be strong in our faith that all nations under God will reach the goal of peace with justice. May we be ever unswerving in devotion to principle. But humble.
How many people would still believe the official theory if they knew the facts that I've just revealed to you and the dozens of other facts if we were willing to stay here a few more hours that I could tell you about, which the Boston Globe failed to answer. Not very many. This illustrates my point. That most people who continue to believe the Bush-Cheney conspiracy theory about 9/11 are simply unaware of dozens and dozens of facts that contradict this theory. For my final illustration of this point, I will discuss the collapse of Building 7 of the World Trade Center. The Truth Movement has long considered the collapse of this building to be the Achilles heel of the official theory, its most vulnerable spot.
And
for good reason. This building came down 5:29 that afternoon. It was not hit by a plane, and therefore no jet fuel was sprayed throughout it to start big fires. Therefore, this 47-story building had fires that lasted only on 6 floors.
ACLU of the ACLU's got to take a lot of blame for this.
And I know I'll hear from them for this, but... straight down from a dead stop to suddenly started moving at free fall acceleration.
The abortionists have
and
got to bear some burden for this because
straight down.
God will not be
and then it ended up in a relatively small,
babies.
Tidy
we make God mad. I really
in other words, it looked every bit like
the
form of controlled demolition known as
actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, people from
the building from the bottom,
all of them.
Have the
tried to secularize
in
America.
On themselves,
I
and that's
want
how
to think in their face and say, you helped this happen.
I totally concur, and the problem is we've
defenders of the official story
so
clearly did not want Americans to think about Building 7. After 9/11 itself, as far as I know, this collapse was never shown on mainstream television. While we saw the Twin Towers
totally
at nausea, time after time after time, but no showing
of
Building 7.
The
likewise, the 9/11 Commission could not afford one sentence
America
in its 571-page report to even
words,
mention
the nation
that this 47-story building
normal and natural
had
and
collapsed.
Spiritual thing to do,
and this was a historic event,
all the time,
being the first time in the known universe in which a steel framing building collapsed because of fire alone. Surely that would have been worth a sentence.
He debunks the official story of the events
also,
that day and presents
NIST,
evidence to support
which
his position.
Which had the task of reporting
that
on it,
is printed in painstaking
delayed
detail in
the
his
report
book
year after year after year. Originally, the reports were supposed to come out in 2004.
Here is Dr.
Said,
David
we're not
Ray
ready.
I turn now to my topic.
We'll do it in 2005. In 2005, they put out the report on the World Trade Center, the towers.
Second look.
But said, oh, Building 7 is going to take a little longer. It'll come out next year. Next year came. They said, no, it'll come out in 2007. In 2007, they said, no, it'll come out in the beginning of 2008. Beginning of 2008, they said, it'll come out in August. Well, by golly, it did. The first draft came out in August. And then the final draft came out in November.
Plan in
coincidentally, I'm sure, just before Bush and Cheney were ready to
hold
office.
A conspiracy theory.
In any case, my next book.
To believe that it came about because of some conspiracy.
Well, not quite my next book. My next
according
book
to
is going
to
come out pretty quickly. Is going to be called Osama bin Laden,
which became
dead
the official
or
account.
Alive. And I argued that
the attacks
he
resulted
in dead
from a conspiracy.
And amazingly,
Osama
it looks like we can pinpoint the date of death, either
the official
December 13th or 14th through 2001.
In fact, was the original
one little clue is the funeral announcement of
what this
bin Laden's
means is
funeral.
Everyone
on December 15th, 2001.
About 9/11. And debate so, 9/11 is therefore not a debate
I'm
between conspiracy
suggesting
theorists
and
people that, who
and also, I mean, the really crucial thing
it's simply
is that,
between a debate
as the FBI, as the CIA,
Bruce Cheney. Interpretation of 9/11.
Former CIA operative
theory.
Robert Baer,
and those who accept
wrote the book
alternative
on which,
theory,
Syriana was
according to which 9/11
has said
a conspiracy.
He's checked with
the Bush-Cheney
fellow
administration.
CIA officials
who
have the task
the
of tracking
conspiracy
him
theory.
Not one of them can say that he's still alive.
Reject the alternative
and that they all say we have not
a
accepted
a
letter message from him
to
since
be rational,
December
13th.
Whereas
which
prior to that, they were intercepting messages to and from
the
bin Laden
facts.
Rather regularly, and they just stopped on December
13th. Dr. David Ray Griffin, speaking
so those two things present pretty good evidence. And then, of course,
he
this question. What about all the audio tapes
including new evidence
videotapes
from the FBI and
bin Laden
other intelligence
has
sources?
Well, have you looked at some of them?
Spending nearly an hour discussing these various
none
facts,
of them
which included
can be proved to be authentic, and some of them can clearly
he
be seen.
Case of World Trade Center Building Number 7.
So somebody is
this illustrates my point.
My favorite is the
most
Blackbeard the Terrorist,
to believe
where bin Laden,
Bush Cheney,
beard has been getting grayer and grayer and grayer, suddenly
about
has 9/11 black
are simply
beard.
Unaware of dozens and dozens of facts.
These guys are not geniuses.
If
the... If our news organizations
point,
or our Congress were doing one-tenth of their job, this would have been exposed long
considered the collapse of this building to be the Achilles heel of the official theory, its most vulnerable spot. And for good reason, this building came down 5:21 that afternoon. It was not hit by a plane, and therefore no jet fuel was sprayed throughout it to start big fires. Therefore, this 47-story building had fires that lasted only on 6 floors. And yet, it came down in virtual freefall, straight down from a dead stop, just suddenly started moving at freefall acceleration. Defenders of the official story clearly did not want Americans to think about Building 7. After 9/11 itself, as far as I know, this collapse was never shown on mainstream television. While we saw the Twin Towers ad nauseum, time after time after time, but no.
Get me some plasma. Perhaps some plasma would help. Would you?
Likewise, the 9/11 Commission
could
not afford one sentence in its 571-page report to even mention that this 47-story building had collapsed. And this was a historic event, being the first time in the known universe in which a steel-framed building had collapsed because of fire alone.
Surely that would have been worth a sentence.
Can't get fooled again.
You're tuned in to a special edition of the Tears of the Gods sound collage here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Edward Buchert. I'm normally on the air Fridays from 8 to 10 p.m., bringing you either the Plastic Sushi Strawberries in Time sound collage, which is a genre-jumping sound collage, mixing up as many different styles of music as we can that match the theme. Or I also have the Tears of the Gods sound collage. And there the idea is to go deeper and maybe play just one or two genres of music, focusing and going deeper into that rather than the constant genre jumping. But both of them are sound collages with audio clips from movies and TV shows, documentaries, speeches mixed in between and on top of the music. And this morning, we've been having a very crazy 9/11, September 11th, memorial sound collage for you. That last 25-minute set began with an epic piece from the German electronic band Tangerine Dream. That was Tangram Set 2. And we heard the final segment of Dr. David Ray Griffin's speech that he gave about so-called 9/11 conspiracy theories. And that was at Boston University, kindly recorded by Chuck Yu and Jeff Manzelli on April 11th, 29. And we also heard excerpts from President Dwight David Eisenhower's farewell speech to the nation, where he talked about the military-industrial complex, and he warned us about it. He kind of saw it as a real, well, being a military man, a general who had a very important role in World War II. And, you know, well, first let me reiterate the disclaimer that Chuck Yu provided in our show intro about the views and opinions, not necessarily, well, that they're the views and opinions of the participants, and they don't necessarily, or in general, reflect the views and opinions of WMFO, the WMFO Exec Board, Tufts University, the Tufts Board of Trustees, who are actually ultimately in charge of all of this, including WMFO. And they don't necessarily represent the views of the show's producer. That'd be me. Instead, they're there put out for you to consider. And particularly one thing that I didn't agree that I mixed in extensively was Jerry Fowell and Pat Robertson laying the blame, at least part of the blame, for the 9/11 attacks on the people they don't like the ACLU and the gays and the feminists, as they said. No, Pat and Jerry, this is America. And those groups are some of the ones that make it still a great country. Another thing that I wanted to mention is after the attacks, there were many people who called the hijackers cowards. And I think the hijackers were evil people. But they weren't cowards. They had a cause, and they gave their lives for that. They were evil, but they weren't cowards. Another thing that I wanted to point out is that the 9/11 attacks were one of the most economical, perhaps the most economical attacks ever in history. According to the 9/11 Commission, they cost somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 to execute, not including the some of the training they had in Afghanistan. But that $500,000 investment, shall we call it, caused at least $10 billion in infrastructure and property damage. And then you look at the way that it had resulted in so many other costs, like there's the Afghanistan war that got ramped up, there was the Iraq war. What an incredible way to get the United States to waste all of its money on war rather than things like education or hospitals, healthcare, schools. Well, that's what happened to us in 2001. Backing me up right now is another instrumental from Rahim Alhaj's Letters from Iraq. This is Letter 3. Letter 3, Running Boy, from Rahim Al-Hajj's Letters from Iraq Oud and String Quartet. Well, we've got about 20 minutes more before Matt will be coming in with the whirlpool. And I'd like to start off our final mix of music here by playing you a Kraftwerk song with a speech from another speech from President Eisenhower, mixed extensively on top of it. But this one is actually from a speech he gave at the beginning of his presidency, rather than his farewell address. This was in 1953, after Stalin had died and Khrushchev had taken power in the Soviet Union. And it was the spring of 1953, and it's called A Chance for Peace. And again, he talks about the economic costs of warfare and military preparedness. And you know, I think President Eisenhower was the last U.S. president who was both highly competent and who had a deep integrity about him. We've had other competent presidents who knew how to exercise their executive power, but I don't think had integrity. And then we had other people with lots of integrity, and certainly intelligent in their own ways. Well, I won't say lots of other people, but Jimmy Carter certainly comes to mind. I wouldn't question his integrity, but he just didn't have the, that kind of deep understanding and ability to wield that ultimate power over the country. But President Eisenhower did, and let's hear from him, as well as some other audio clips from who knows where, like the NRA, another organization who I don't agree with, but who we bring to you to have as part of the Sound Collage experience here on WMFO in Medford.
Discovered by Madame Curie. signifies, in the final sense, a fest from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. The cost of one modern heavy bomber is this: a modern brick school in more than 30 cities. It is 2 electric power plants, each serving a town of 60,000 population. It is 2 fine, fully equipped hospitals. It is some 50 miles of concrete pavement.
Depend on who is sitting in the White House. Our fate depends on who is sitting outside the White House.
War.
Been listening to a special early morning edition of the Tears of the Gods sound collage only here on WMFO. We've been playing you a crazy mix of music and a speech from Dr. David Ray Griffin about the 9/11 attacks. And just to mention things as far as the mixing, this was a pretty crazy show. I originally did some of this a couple of years ago, and I mixed it live here on our CDJs. And then I grabbed the archive of that, and I mixed it up with some other new, different music. And so it's been through a whole lot. And then especially when you consider the source of all the audio clips, like the eyewitness to the attacks and just some of the scariest stuff that I've ever heard. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if not that, I hope you found this highly derivative work at least educational here on Tufts Community and Educational Freeform Radio, WMFO in Medford. Stay tuned for Matt with the Whirlpool coming up
real soon on WMFO. Thank you.